Continue with the presentation. Over to Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm here with my team. As DDG Indra Naidu, he's responsible for M&E in the Public Service Commission. And then we have Irene Matenja, who's the Chief Director, and she's the one who's going to present to us. Also have Nozi Gwaza, who's a Parliamentary Officer, and she's the one who's keeping us hooked with portfolio committees and Parliament in general. I must say before I give over to Irene that this is our first engagement with this portfolio committee, and I hope one of the many which will come. As a Public Service Commission, and we are really working very hard to make sure that you as parliamentarians get information that is very reliable and of a high standard for your oversight work. And in doing so, we go out to find the best methodologies and approaches as well as tools to make that possible. And part of those tools is what we are going to present today to you as our first pilot report using these key drivers of citizen satisfaction, which Irene will explain to us. And over to her. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I will be taking you through the presentation on the key drivers of citizen satisfaction survey with public service delivery. Basically, that is just the overview of the presentation, issues that we'll be touching on. In terms of the introduction and the background, our constitution, and in particular the white paper on Batubile, requires the public service to systematically and regularly engage with citizens. But key to this is that such engagement should be able to help us in obtaining feedback on how services are rendered, so that we're able to use that information also to improve on service delivery. The Public Service Commission, as part of its mandate of monitoring and evaluation, has since 2002 adopted citizen satisfaction surveys as one of its methodologies of engaging citizens. However, during the 2009-10 financial year, the PSC identified the need to improve on its model of conducting citizen satisfaction survey. Key to this again was that such improvement should be guided by what South Africans regard as important when they make judgments about the quality of public services. So basically the objectives of the study were to develop South African specific drivers of citizen satisfaction, to pilot these drivers of citizen satisfaction with selected departments, and in this regard, we piloted them with the departments of Home Affairs, Health, Labour, Transport, Police, Justice and Constitutional Development. Lastly, one of the objectives of the study was to assess the citizens' level of satisfaction with the services rendered by these selected departments. Now, as earlier indicated, that one of the objectives was to develop the South African specific drivers of citizen satisfaction, what we did basically is that a desktop study was conducted to look at pieces of legislation, but also a number of reports that were generated previously by the PSC, particularly those which gave us information in terms of citizens' views on service delivery, and we identified 10 drivers of citizen satisfaction, and these were accessibility to services, treating the public with courtesy and consideration, timeliness in service provision, the availability of information on public services, knowledge and competence of staff, the conditions of the facilities in which public services are delivered, fairness and equity in service delivery, value for money in public service delivery, providing redress where a promised standard of service has not been met, and outcome of the encounter with the public service. And perhaps I need to mention that in the development of these drivers of citizen satisfaction, the document that was compiled outlining how we arrived at these drivers was sent to all departments, both provincial and national, to solicit comments of our counterparts in determining also whether we are accurate and we spot on in raising these issues in the delivery of services. The feedback that we received then was positive. Departments, officials were telling us that we were spot on and those issues are critical in the delivery of services. In the second phase, we developed a data collection instrument, obviously informed by those drivers. Departments and their service delivery points were purposely sampled. In this regard, we made sure that in terms of the service delivery points, the rural and urban divide is covered. And then 991 service users were sampled randomly, and in this regard, 148 were the service users of the Department of Home Affairs. And you would recall that this was a pilot, so perhaps the number there would be low. And with regard to the Department of Home Affairs, again, the services that we focused on were the counter services, so the registration applications and applications for amendments. The findings that we're presenting here are specifically, again, for Department of Home Affairs. The slide there basically just gives us an overview of the demographic profile of the service users that we engaged with during the study. I think I will pass that slide. Okay. Now, in terms of those 10 drivers of citizen satisfaction, as highlighted in the objectives of the study, that we would determine whether we are relevant as PSC when we say service users would consider this as important in the delivery of services. Now, our findings showed us that in terms of timeliness, provision of information, the outcome of interaction with public service, knowledge and competence of staff and redress, 100% of the service users said these are very important. So when they walk into a public service department or in a service site, they want a service to be provided as prompt as possible. They want accurate information. They want to leave the service point with what they went there for. They want to interact with as officials that are knowledgeable and competent, and that redress was important. But also when you look at the other drivers, facilities, access, value for money, courtesy, fairness and equity, it's still very high. So those, all of them, basically, they are important to them. Now, in terms of the level now of satisfaction with the services rendered by the department, we found that in relation to accessibility, there were a number of aspects that we posed to citizens in determining their satisfaction level. Now, what we found is that 74.6% of the service users felt that the operating hours, they were good, they were satisfied with the operating hours of the Department of Home Affairs. But now, when we compare with the 2006-2007 report, PSC conducted a citizen satisfaction survey, by the way, in the Department of Home Affairs during that period. So we had to make a comparison again to say, is the level of satisfaction improving or is there a drop in that regard? So what we found with the convenience of operating hours is that there was an increase of 11.6%, where in 2006-07, only 62.9% of the service users felt that convenience of operating hours was good. And where you find that we've got dotted lines on the 2006-2007 is because there was no comparison in that regard. Accessibility to facilities, 65% felt that they were happy with that. Disability access, in the 2009-10, 53% felt that people with disabilities and the elderly were able to access service points of the department. This shows an increase of 17.6% when we compare with the previous study. Again, the ability to contact service points, only 52.2%. There, I think there's a need for some improvement. Again, in each slide, you will see that at the bottom thereof, we give just a snapshot of the findings in the provinces. We have, in this regard, decided to show just the extreme, which province service users were most satisfied and which province service users were least satisfied. So least satisfied, we're also mindful of the fact that we might come up with a huge report if we put everything, but that data is available. So in this regard, you would find that 87.5% of the service users in Gauteng were most satisfied with accessibility to services, whereas 32.7 of those in KwaZulu-Natal were least satisfied with accessibility to services of the department. In terms of the courtesy displayed by officials, the findings show that 72.2% were satisfied that they were being treated with courtesy and consideration, and this shows a drop of 2% when we compare with the 2006 and 7 findings. And in this regard, again, service users in the Eastern Cape and Free State as well as Gauteng were most satisfied with the courtesy displayed by officials, whereas 35% of those in KwaZulu-Natal were least satisfied with how they were treated by public servants. In terms of timeliness, we find that 51.5% of the service users were of the view that they were satisfied with the promptness at which services were provided. It's an area, again, I think, for improvement there. And we found that at provincial level, 100% of the service users in Gauteng were most satisfied with the timeliness of service delivery, whereas only 17% of the service users in the Northwest were least satisfied with this driver. With regard to information, I think the driver was a little bit overloaded. We looked at a number of aspects there, the first one being the availability of forms. And we found that 74.8% were satisfied with the availability of forms, but that shows us a decrease of 12.9%, whereas at during the 2006-07 report, 87.7% felt that, you know, when they walked into a service delivery site of the department, they found forms to be available. The user-friendliness of the forms, 67.4% were satisfied with that. Signage information boards, inside and outside the service delivery sites, we found that 67.2% were satisfied. That shows an increase of 16.1% from the 2006-07 report. Information desk, 60.9% were satisfied. Information on the level and quality of service, we found that 56.4% were satisfied with that. But it shows a decrease of 15.8% from the 2006-07 report. And in this regard, 84% of service users in Mpumalanga were satisfied with the aspects of provision of information, whereas 46 of those in KwaZulu-Natal were less satisfied. Now we come to the knowledge and competence of officials in providing services. We found that the officials' ability to understand service users' requirements, 78.6%, they were satisfied that when they interact with public servants, they felt that, you know, they understood what they wanted. And officials' knowledge about their services, 74.3%, also felt that they were interacting with people who knew what they were doing there. And then officials' ability to accurately perform the service rendered, 72.3% were satisfied, and that shows an increase of 3% when you compare to the 2006-07 report. And in this regard, again, 100% of service users in Gauteng were satisfied, and 45.2% in the Northwest, only 45.2% in Northwest were satisfied, which is an area for concern. with regard to the conditions of the facilities, the cleanliness of the facility, we found that 61.9% were satisfied with the cleanliness of the facilities. The security and the safety net, 65% were satisfied, and the waiting area, 60.4% they were satisfied, and that shows us that in Gauteng, 86% of service users were satisfied with this driver, whereas 29% of service users in Limpopo, only 29% were satisfied, an area for concern as well. With regard to fairness and equity, we asked service users if the service was rendered without favor, and 87.8% felt that indeed the service was rendered without favor. And whether they were treated fairly by officials, 85% felt that indeed they were treated fairly by officials. 100% of service users in the Eastern Cape were satisfied with this, and 72% of service users in KwaZulu-Natal felt that they were satisfied. So you, from that point, I think provinces were doing well in terms of fairness and equity. With regards to value for money, service users, 82.9% of the service users felt that the services were rendered efficiently, and 78% felt that the service was an example of value for money, and 74.5% felt that the cost was reasonable. And next time we do a study in the Home Affairs, it would be interesting to know in this regard, particularly in light of the increase of... Yes. And in this regard, again, we found that 100% of the services in the Eastern Cape and Gauteng were satisfied, and 53% in KwaZulu-Natal were least satisfied. The next driver is the redress. In terms of redress, we basically asked service users the frequency at which they experience problems when they interact with the officials at the service delivery site. And in this regard, we found that 57.1% of them mentioned that they never experienced problems. And this shows a drop of 21% when you compare to the 2007 report. Now, this leaves us with 42.9% of service users who experienced problems. And of those, 12.5% did lodge a complaint, and perhaps if I can pack a little bit here, we found that the majority of them mentioned that when they lodge complaint, they would lodge complaint verbally. Now, lodging complaint verbally is not sustainable, because then we're not able to trace how that complaint has been dealt with, and people are not getting feedback in terms of how their problems have been attended to. However, of those who did not lodge complaint, we found that 43.3% said they did not know where to lodge complaints, which raises concerns about the redress mechanisms of the department. 30% found that it was not worthwhile to lodge the complaint. Possibly they've lodged complaints in the past and it never helped. 28.3% found that there was nothing to complain about, whilst 1.7% found that they were scared to lodge complaints, for fears of, you know, getting into trouble. And in this regard, again, we found that 64.8% in KwaZulu-Natal felt that, rather 68.4% of the complaints was very high in KwaZulu-Natal, whilst 18.2% of the complaints were in Gauteng. I'm sure the trend is coming out in terms of the provinces. In terms of outcome, again, we found that when we engaged with services to find out whether at the end they got what they needed, 81.4% felt that, yes, indeed, at the end they got what they needed. But again, here, people were saying they do receive what they need, but sometimes it takes a bit longer for them to actually get there, which reflects on the issue of timeliness. 78.3% felt that the service really met their expectation. Again, in this regard, 100% of service users in Limpopo felt that they were happy with our outcome, service delivery, whereas 56% of those in KwaZulu-Natal were satisfied with this driver. This slide shows us the overall, the summary basically of the overall level of satisfaction with the services rendered by the department per driver. And perhaps if there's an issue that I need to highlight here, is when you look at the driver of information and the driver of timeliness, there we have got 65.3 and 51.5 percentages. But when you looked at the slide that I spoke to earlier on the importance of the drivers, 100% of service users on those two areas felt that those two drivers are very, very important. But what they're getting at the end of the day when they interact with the department, only 51.5% felt that timeliness, the department was timely in providing services, and that the accuracy and the provision of information, which is 65.3. So that is an area for concern as well. The other drivers, we can see them, fairness and equity is 90%, outcome 83.5, value for money 79.5, knowledge and competence of staff 75.1, courtesy 72.3, facilities 62.4. And perhaps before I get to the recommendations again, when we look at the bigger picture again, it shows us that in the Department of Home Affairs, the overall level of satisfaction with services provided for the 2009-10 was 71.2%. And those that we received from the 2006-07 report was 61.1%. So there is a marginal difference of 10.1%, which is an improvement of the department. Obviously, there are certain areas that still need to be improved on, one of them being accessibility. The PSC recommends that access to the services via telephone, call centers needs to be improved to ensure that service users are able to phone in case they want to find out information or they want to find out application of the services. So in that regard, there needs to be improvement. Timeliness, again, it is important that the department looks into its processes of providing information. How long does it take to apply for an ID, for instance, and how long should it take also for that document to be available? So the timeliness in providing services, but not only timeliness in the provision of document, but when a person gets into a service delivery point, how long should they stand on the queue and how long should it take before they walk out? On the information, again, we saw that information desk should be manned at all times, and material information should be available at the information desk to assist service users. Officials also need to be trained on providing accurate information. Redress, we saw that there should be redress mechanisms on site. People should be educated on how to complain, where to complain, and how their complaints are going to be dealt with, and if they need feedback and how to receive that kind of feedback. Thank you.
And thank you. Are there maybe additions from other commissioners?
No.
No. Okay. Honourable members, that was the presentation from the commissioner. As you notice that the services differ from one province to the next, I think it's due to metros and the rural areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the far-flung rural areas, people do suffer to access home affairs, mm-hmm. and I think other government institutions because of, you know, they must transport and all other things involved. But quite a number of issues were raised, accessibility to especially, I think, the offices of Home Affairs. I do know that we still have offices that are inaccessible, especially for the elderly and disabled people. The staff conduct, we still have staff that are not friendly, especially to the public. And the information desk, though there's improvement here and there, I'm not sure because we haven't done oversight visits for some time. I think we do also need to look at that. Value for money is another issue that has been highlighted here, which is a problem, and I think it's going to be interesting next time you go around to do that, because I was in Soweto, I'm sure 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, and there was a complaint with regard to IDs. You know, this plastic that they cover the ID documents, the front portion where you have your photo, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one other thing that the department needs to look at, because that thing you can just peel it off and put somebody else's photo, then he has an ID. So those are some of the things that we do need to look at and see as to how we raise them with the department. Honourable members, questions? Honourable Gam, Honourable Masela, Honourable Lovemore, Honourable Makuba, Honourable Grace, you're the last for the first round. Commissioners, I'm sure you will note the questions so that you answer at the end.
Thanks, Jane. Yes, just a couple of questions. I would just like to know who exactly, first of all, thank you for the presentation. I think it is a very worthwhile exercise. Can you perhaps just indicate who exactly did this survey? Is it done by the Public Service Commission as such, or is it done by a company with experience as far as this is concerned? How was a sample put together? You referred to women, but in general, you know, can we be confident that it was done in a very scientific way, and so on and so on. So, secondly, you have a few indicators like accessibility to facility and so on, where there hasn't been an indication of performance in 2006-07. Are these, I take it that, and just wants confirmation from your side in this regard, that these are now new indicators that you've used for the first time in 2009-10, and therefore there's no indication for 2006-07. Then thirdly, obviously this is a survey, so you do not necessarily know what exactly changed within the department to indicate an improvement of performance or of perception of performance and so on, or a decline. But for example, there's this matter of convenience of operating hours. Now in 2009-10, well, there's a difference of 11.6% more people now believe that the operating hours are indeed convenient. Do we have any indication as to did the operating hours change, or, you know, why is this the case? Because if they didn't change, then it almost suggests that there might be a bit of a problem with your survey here, because why would 11.6% now suddenly be, or 11.6% more people now suddenly be happy with the operating hours than was the case in 2006-07? So do we have any indication, you know, as far as that is concerned? Or maybe you should at least use that also to check the accuracy of your survey, you know, to establish whether these operating hours have changed now to indicate that improvement, or the higher approval rate. I think that is, yeah, that's more or less what I wanted to ask. It just seems that in general, as a general observation, the timeline issue does seem to be the greatest problem that people have with the department. Thank you very much.
Honourable Marcel.
Thank you, Sir President. I just wish to also commend the Public Service Commission for a very great work done. I think besides the many areas that they pointed out to, it does indicate really that we've got a department but in some areas functions well, and in some areas needs very serious improvement. If you look at the national picture, that's where you are able to see whether is the department overall we're making an impact. But also, Sebastian, our oversight needs to be planned along these lines of ensuring that some provinces, as you have seen KZN for instance, there is this consistency about service satisfaction levels being very low. It might be that it's a particular area, and we need to know. I think Honorable Gam was correct to point out to a question of where exactly the survey was done in specific areas. So I think that column we still need, so that we're able to gauge, you know, ourselves in pursuit of that mandate of oversight as the department, as the portfolio committee. But I would like to know as well who commissioned the survey. And based on that commission, what were the terms of reference? And coming back out of that task, what was the interaction? What was the feeling of the department? Have they in fact interacted with the department, or it is another process that will still take place? So that we get at least a feeling whether some of these areas that have been pointed out as concerns, whether there has been any attempt to try and flag the approach and the intervention methodology to those. The last area which concerns me seriously now is the ability to conduct the service point. That one should be anything above 80-90%. I mean, to contact the department, you should be able to call and pick a phone and someone picks the phone on the other side. You know how it means to us, Chairperson, as members. When you send an email, it takes not less than 48 hours, if not a week, before you get an answer. If at all, you do get an answer. So that becomes a problem. And the other area here is this area of people being afraid to lodge complaints, thinking that the officials will beat them, will hit them. So now you want to know why. Why do people think that these officials are all of a sudden beasts? Because Batupile, his principles are there. Now also we need to understand where. Because if you look at the social dynamics, some people in some areas feel free to come and speak out. But others will say, you know, those people are... You can't speak anything, you can't say anything. So it's a concern, Chairperson, which I would like to see how best we can tackle that. I think we've got to have a discussion about also how to encourage people to lodge complaints where there is a complaint, not necessarily lodging a complaint for the sake of lodging a complaint. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Commission for the report. Chair, just a few questions. The report is entitled Key Drivers of Citizen Satisfaction with Public Service Delivery. Now, it's not only citizens who are entitled to public service delivery. Non-citizens are also, and for instance, migrants, refugees. And I just wondered if at any stage you would be looking at that, because that's actually the more complex side, inevitably, of Home Affairs interactions with clients. These should be the birth, death, registrations, IDs, passports, should be the relatively simple things, in fact. Chair, I share the concerns of Advocate Honourable Gaum. I really question the statistical validity of this study. If you go to the numbers of Home Affairs is dealing with in the order of 4 million clients a year. 4 million. 4 to 5 million. And you will see, if you go to some of the numbers in the presentation that's coming after this, you will see some very, very high numbers. Now, 148 people were questioned, which averages out at about 16 per province. And conclusions are drawn from that. I mean, I just cannot. I've actually asked some statisticians to give me an opinion on that. but I just cannot see that this report in fact has any statistical validity. It is interesting, however, that there are certain trends that do emerge, for instance, the KZN being poorer than most provinces in most respects. But if this report is to be utilized to try and encourage or compel, and that's another question. What is the point now? Is this report going to be utilised to talk to the Department of Home Affairs? And my colleague asked the same question, to say that these are the issues that you must focus on. Then it must be statistically valid. So I'm interested to have your comments on that. And then, Chair, just two specific questions, stroke comments. Page 15 is looking at redress, and this is a problem that we deal with all the time. I mean, my inbox is flooded every day with concerns from people who actually do know where to go to for a bit of redress. But nevertheless, there's been a drop of 21% in the level of satisfaction with services rendered, despite billions of rand having been spent on a turnaround strategy. That is serious. That is absolutely serious. I mean, that is something that should be taken up by the department immediately. So there has been a massive intervention, but despite that, there's been a massive drop. Again, with a question mark on the statistical validity. And how would that be taken up with the department? I just want some clarity on page 16, Chair, and this is my final question. This is on outcome. In the end, you've got what you needed. But the one that I want to question is, the service experience met your expectations. This one always confuses me, I must say, with respect to the Batopile principles. Because quite frankly, the expectation with respect to Home Affairs by most people is low. It is. Most people don't go to Home Affairs expecting a friendly, quick, prompt service. So if I don't get that, it actually meets my expectations. So won't you please just explain this, you know, in terms of what questions did you ask the people? Because, as I say, they might have got in there with a low expectation, and then you say that 78 would say rounded off to 80% meets your expectations, and that sounds great, but in fact it might come from a very low base. So I'd just like to understand that a bit more. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the briefing by the Public Service Commission. Most of the points have already been raised by my colleagues. According to this, it is very clear that there is still a major problem, especially in KZN. I just wanted to find out from the Commission, because you guys were doing the research with whoever you were doing the research with. I wanted to know if the reasons of KZN being the least satisfied, was it because of, like the Chairperson said, the problem that rural areas and a few urban, what you can call urban areas, but mostly rural parts, and all the delays maybe were due to that? And what suggestions are there to try and improve that percentage that they are rating at now, to try and get a better response from the people who are supposed to use the service? And another thing that I wanted to find out from was on page 11, where you spoke about information, availability of forms, where you say in 2006 it was on 87.7, now in 2009-10 it's 74.8. Can you just maybe give us briefly the reason why it had gone down? Were there new forms that were introduced? Was the offices not able to access to get the forms on time, or what was happening? And the knowledge and competence on page 12, the official's ability to understand your requirements. I'm a bit worried with this one, because if the officials do not really understand about, do not have the knowledge about the services, then that is why we have the problem that we have in Home Affairs, where a person has to go back five times
looking for one document, because each person will be telling them. So I just want to find out what is it that you got as a problem that you had to rate them the way they have been rated, understanding that the commission is not working for Home Affairs. I don't know whether this document will then be discussed with Home Affairs for them to be able to attend to the challenges that you found. But all in all, I would like to say for our oversight, it would really help us to have broader information per province, so that when we visit those areas, we can also see that what is said here and find out and try and see how we could intervene and assist. Thank you.
Let us afford the opportunity before you come in, Ma, to the commissioners to respond to the question.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. My colleague Irene will give more specifics, but just to comment on the points that have been made by two honourable members, the issue of sampling. Provided the sample is done in a manner in which it is valid, the numbers are not that significant. So you may have millions. If you look at the Mackinac survey, etc., if you were to actually look at what numbers and to compare that with the overall population, it's actually very, very small. We have used a purposeful sample here, and we've ensured that that has been statistically valid. We've done this with GTZ. We have an advisory group that also informs us in terms of methodology, and we do reference these issues. But we also triangulate, and we find that the findings in this study do resonate with other findings. So, for example, in our National Anti-Corruption Hotline, the issue of timeliness comes up again and again with Home Affairs, where the main complaint is we don't know how long something is going to take. But we also find a positive finding here, which is the question of fairness. It actually indicates that the Department of Home Affairs is not as corrupt as is generally perceived, that people who go there generally get the service. So it could show that the department, in terms of its various strategies, has been addressing the corruption element because of it has its own hotline, as well as the PSC hotline, you know, which captures this information. But where the results have improved, on the 2006-07 survey, we presented those findings to the management of the Department of Home Affairs, and they were obliged to respond to us on what they have done. And in instances where they have acted, you have the result having improved. The one area where there's been limited improvement is the issue of timeliness. Now, if you go into the department, you'll find it says it takes 21 days for a passport or whatever. These tend not to be met. So whilst you have a target here, they are not met. That's the one issue. The other issue about redress, I think the honourable member is quite right, is that people don't bother to complain because they feel nothing will happen. So that is a big issue. Or they would rather complain verbally, but we don't have a system to capture the verbal. And if they capture it in writing, they feel intimidated. There's a whole lot of other social, you know, issues that, you know, that come in. So Home Affairs must look at a system that is probably like you have in the bank, where you press a button, happy, unhappy, etc., which gets the data so that, you know, you can have that issue. But in the urban areas, they are not afraid to complain. In the rural areas, they're afraid of complaint, not because of intimidation by the officials, but by the perception that their ID will take long to get done. And perhaps, and there is evidence that the officials say, you complained about me, I'll put you in the back of the queue. So, you know, there are those issues that are coming, you know, that are coming through. But most certainly on the issue of sampling, If the Public Service Commission were to go and have huge numbers, we'd never be able to come to this committee and actually present results. You know, provided we have stratified the sample, it's purposeful. We've spoken on a random basis. All the surveys were done in local language. We used non-government organisations that were contracted with GTZ. We've ensured that you know, the findings are here. So you know, that is the balancing act that we are always you know, playing with. On a subsequent survey, we interviewed 5,000 you know, respondents. We came with a similar result. So, you know, if we have more budget, most certainly we would like to do it much larger. But we are increasingly moving into partnerships with universities now to get some of our work done by the research institutions, because they have a much larger capacity than us, and then we can focus more on the strategic issues. But where the department has improved, once again to point out, once we have made a set of recommendations, it goes to the department. They're given 6 months in which to respond. And they have to give in writing what they have done. So where the improvement has, they have done. They're not able to crack as yet the timeliness issue. And that seems to be the highest frustration of citizens, not how clean the facilities, etc. They want to get something on time thing. And when the commitment is made, when the committee is not met, that's when the disappointment element comes in. But my colleague Irene.
Thank you. I think Mr. Naidu has already responded to some of the questions, but just maybe to reiterate also, the study was conducted by the Public Service Commission. The questionnaire, we designed it based on the drivers that we had proposed and interacted with departments to solicit their views on those drivers. And I must say that because this was the first time that we were doing the survey based on the drivers, we couldn't have reached and completely outsourced the study to a service provider. There was some portion that obviously we worked with a service provider that is mainly just cleaning the data and ensuring that the figures that we get at the end of the day are accurate based on what we had input from the questionnaires. So basically it was done by the Public Service Commission. We wrote the report ourselves. It was mainly written by officials of the Public Service Commission and approved by the Commission, obviously. The issue of the sample, I think Mr. Naidu has alluded to that one. The issue of the indicators in terms of the variance, because we're using these drivers, previously we used what we called a cervical model, which is a multiple scale problem, looking at 5 issues. Now we're looking at 10. So obviously when you do a comparison, some of the issues are not coming out from the previous study, hence we can't make a comparison. But for now, the PSC will continue using these key drivers in the assessment of the level of satisfaction with public services. So the next study obviously will give us the same picture in terms of the drivers. The change in performance, we have made recommendations in the 2006-2007 report, as Mr. Naidu has said. We have communicated that to the department, and partly it's because of the implementation of the recommendation. Some of the studies that we have conducted along the way, again, like the Batubile report and the report that we conducted on the border post of the Department of Home Affairs, shows us some improvement in certain areas, hence that the citizens are able to allude to those. So it's not the PSC saying services improved or services not improved, it's the citizens that are telling us, and mainly it's because of some of those areas where there has been improvement, where improvement has taken place. I think the other issue was the issue of the redress. I think it's talking to the same issue again, why it has dropped and why it has gone down. It's because service users mainly feel that they're not the complaints are not being dealt with accordingly, as perhaps compared to the previous report. On the issue of the outcome and the fact that the honourable member said that we need to unpack it, basically there we say to people, at the end of the day, do you feel that we have received what you wanted? And I did say it during the presentation that people would say, yes, I have received the ID. However, that came after a long time. So did you actually get what you wanted? So they have received what they wanted. But the issue is that whatever that they wanted did not come on time as they have expected it. So they have received it, but it did not come at the time that they expected it. It took a little bit longer. I think, again, in the report, after each and every driver, you would see that we're flagging the challenges that service users alluded to in terms of each and every driver. The reason why KZN was low, I need to say that in KZN, we did both urban and rural. So it's not necessarily because we went to the rural areas. So we were in Pietermaritzburg. We were in, I think, in Durban as well, in the urban areas. So the findings combined shows us that service users in general in KZN were kind of dissatisfied with the services provided. I think the issue of information, again, it goes to the fact that some of the recommendations previously were implemented, and in some instances, obviously, the department needs to improve in that regard.
On the technical questions, the one the honourable member mentioned, we look at citizens. What about non-citizens? Blind spot. We haven't touched the non-citizens. This survey just took citizens as an homogenous group, whoever we spoke to and found randomly. But most certainly, we're going to flag it now and perhaps look at a specific project that looks at given the earlier discussion and the concerns around non-citizens and the tension around that, how did they perceive it? Here we just went to service points and looked at it. We did not differentiate, but we would have to going forward. The second one, in 2006-07, the operating hours came up as an issue again. Now there's two levels. One of course is how long the survey is, how long the office is open and accessible. But secondly, the concern was during lunchtime. Home Affairs was they just closed. That's it. Then you wait for an hour and they come and open. That's been changed. There's now rotational lunch. The hours have been extended and the mobiles have helped tremendously. And the community development workers. So if you look at the multi service centres that I think are starting in the malls, I know the Soweto one opened recently. Citizens are quite happy about that. And of course, being open on Saturday has, you know, assisted in that regard. The concern remains when you phone. The phone is dropped and no one takes it. And we do this as part of our work. We also act like we phone. We stand in the queue. No one knows we PSC when we actually go and do this. We go and we shuffle with them and mix with the people and we get our information, you know, as best as you can. For some reason, you can't get. Or what citizens find very, very, very irritating is they go into a voicemail with the prompts. And then you get to a certain point after 5 minutes and the call is dropped. Mm. And that has not been cracked yet.
Yeah. Just on that note, you know, I went to our Home Affairs, you know, I was applying for a passport. And you always go like, as it says, like a normal citizen. And I was amazed by the turnaround time. It was very quick. And, you know, when I got in, there were these two gentlemen who asked me what I was going to do. And they directed me, you know, to the appropriate counter. And the courtesy there was quite amazing because, I mean, the media will always say things and pick on other things. But it's not always the general rule. You have to go in there and experience yourself. And it also comes together with the issue of attitude, you know, amongst public servants. I mean, there was a TV program last week on this official from, I think, licensing department.
In Hammanskraal, yeah.
Yeah, in
September.
I mean, I said to my wife, I would have fired him on the spot. You can't go on national television and be so arrogant as a public servant. You just can't. You serve the public. No matter how angry you are, no matter how wrong the public is, you have to show courtesy. It's one of operating principles. Mm-hmm. So there was really no excuse in that regard. You know, other work of the PSC is also looking at non-citizens, which is to me quite debatable. What would you classify as a non-citizen? We had a round table, was it last year, on the issue of xenophobia. And the report is available on our website. And we related the issue of xenophobia to service delivery and possible causes and issues related therewith. And there were very interesting things which came out. And I think that is a debate we have to continue with, you know, as South Africans again. And there may be a lot of things that change, you know, the performance levels of departments. It might be managing poor performance again. It might be having tighter management than before, you know, because there are many other things like how you manage leave, which have an influence on service delivery. We have done reports on that too. So what I'm trying to say is for us to look at an in-depth kind of, you know, to take an in-depth look at a department, which means we have to use indicators. In this sense, we're only looking at drivers. We have to look at indicators when we go into a department with our M&E system. That is where we look at very, very detailed information, where we look at evidence that there has been service delivery, where we say, if there's no evidence, nothing has happened. And so that is one other process that we employ. And we may follow this up with an M&A report on this department, which would also test all these things that have come out of this report. So we see it as an ongoing work and not as an end in itself. That is why we're putting these drivers before you, because we have looked at international best practice, we have looked at ourselves, and we have looked at what would be appropriate in our particular circumstance. And we're piloting this just to say, as a first, you know, kick, let's see what comes out. And we are sure that there's a lot of resonance between our own Batopili principles and the drivers that you see here. And it's not far away from the beaten track. And we hope to come up with more concrete results as we go deeper with our M&E system, also incorporating these key drivers. Thanks.
Second round. Honorable Grace, followed by Honorable Peterson Madonna.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think most of the issues have been raised, particularly in relation to the provinces, where we have 9 provinces as a country, and looking at the report, we only get in results in terms of the highest and the least, which you then miss out on the figures around the other provinces in terms of how did they perform around those particular issues that are raised, for us to be able to then have a better understanding of what is actually going on. The other issue is in relation to the number versus the population and the ruralness. Hi. Urban and rural comparisons. Chair, but there are issues again. When you look at what was actually used, you would see that there's issues around the demographic profile. There's gender, there's age, there's educational level. But in terms of educational level, there's nothing around people who are illiterate. You have those who at least have completed some schoolings, matric, post-matric, but those who are totally illiterate, we I don't know, it was a random sample, so, but somehow we couldn't get anybody that relates to that. Furthermore, when you look at that, we then left out what we raised earlier on, urban and rural samples, to say this were the percentage around the urban people, or this were the percentage around the rural ones. The other thing that one is not picking up on this particular presentation is the issues related to value for money. You're not sure as to whether that was used in terms of the money paid over the counter, or is inclusive of the times that one is being sent to and from Home Affairs together with what he paid over the counter. Was it worth the person going up and down? Well, it's a cost to an individual that we need to at least see, because it will also help us when we get to other assessments that have been made. What we do not see again around the report, what I think is missing, is the issue of transparency. We've spoken about information accessibility, all that, but in terms of how transparent we are as the department, that's another thing that I don't know. I think what was raised on earlier on around what were the terms of reference, maybe it was not part of the survey, but I think it could have served a very meaningful role to us. When we talk about that, there are some provinces, for instance, I'm going to talk about the Northwest. In terms of timeliness, people are not happy, I think, because you've got your 17%. But we are unable to compare that with issues relating to KTC information and accessibility, because it only appears under timeliness as the least, and the under knowledge as again one of the least, where people were least satisfied. But the issue is, if we treated people with courtesy in the Northwest, ensured that they access information easy and have everything that they need smoothly, because in terms of what appears to the report, everything there was fine, then how does it then affect their knowledge? Why would they then ultimately say they do not know when all these other things they have? I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. And again, how do that then also affect in terms of the time they get, I mean, in terms of the service they get, the timeliness of the service they get? I think if there was some kind of a comparison in terms of that, or out some highlight in terms of that, then it's easy for one to follow where actually the problem is, so that as a committee, after you have left, we are able to engage and be able to give direction in terms of what should happen from there. Lastly, Chair, is we mainly indicated, and I think Honourable Marcella is related to that, on telephonic contact, and excluded the other means of contact or access to the either facilities or access around services that we need to get within the Home Affairs. And that on its own leave us to believe that once, if you can smoothly communicate or access service through telephone, then with each and everything, then it's fine. Or we are unable to know whether we have a problem in terms of electronic contact, you know, and we are fine with telephonic contacts. And I know we are trying to assess the service delivery here, but we have to then ensure in terms of the satisfaction in terms of people accessing services. That's what we have highlighted on. But there are other issues where the workers themselves can then say, these are the issues because of 1, 2, 3, we are unable to provide this particular service because of this. So that we are in a clear picture of what is actually happening in terms of service delivery there and be able to provide guidance. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Peterson Maduna, please don't do what the Honourable Bosman has done. Honourable Tibedi will be the last.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Actually, she has covered me on the issue of transparency. But still, Chairperson, I think from my small knowledge, the department has improved a lot on some of the drivers the commission has spoken about. But I'm a bit worried about the... I just wanted to know when was their survey done. I think I'll end up there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chair. Let me apologize for coming late and acknowledge the fact that I did not have the benefit to listen to the presentation. So I'm just fascinated by the statistics, especially in relation to service delivery. It seems to me the people of Gauteng are really the most satisfied. But the question I want to raise is, these statistics generally, and I know it might not have been your mandate, but generally speaking, how do they relate to the voting? In other words, does it relate, especially where you find that people are not satisfied in terms of the outcomes of the IEC result, does it reflect that level of unhappiness? In terms of voter turnout in those areas, but also in terms of other related matters. So I just want to find out, maybe it may not be the exact mandate, but for me it will be interesting to know what does it mean, because I think they contribute towards building a democratic institution, and that institution must actually must be assisted by analyzing these statistics moving forward to understand. Because in some instances we find that people are less satisfied, but still they go in large numbers to the voting stage. So I think those kind of dynamics, I just want to find out as to how does it actually relate to that. Thanks.
What's the question? Thank you. On the issue of information from the other provinces, I think we need to acknowledge that perhaps that information should have gone into the report reflecting all other provinces. But for purposes of managing information and also being aware of the fact that we might come up with a huge and bulky report, we reflected on the extremes and say, you know, perhaps this is in a province where the level of satisfaction was very high and there are some concerns in other provinces. But that information is available. Like, for instance, Mr. Naidu was doing a presentation in the Northwest about 2 weeks ago on this report. So we had to pull specifically information that is relating to Northwest, because then we can't tell them about Gauteng having done well there and Limpopo having done well there, and we don't tell them about their own province. So the information is there in our database, so we pull it as and when we need it. It's unfortunate that we cannot present it in this report. The next issue on the educational level, we have 47% that have completed some schooling. It was a bit of a sensitive issue, really, to ask people whether you have been to school. You know, we just said, if you don't have matric, you know, maybe get into that category. And people were more comfortable. It was a bit of a sensitive issue. We didn't want to make people feel that, you know, you have got no schooling, you know, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So, yes, so you can't get services because you don't know these things. But basically we said, and in that instance, other people unaware, they were said, no, I have got standard two, you know, and then we assisted them in terms of where to tick. And I must say, in this process, we completed the questionnaires. We never let them to service users to complete them, because it was a long questionnaire, and also people really don't understand issues of value for money. You have to explain to them what is this. So we completed the questionnaires. On the issue of the urban and rural, Honorable Chair, I might not be able to give you the specifics with regard to Home Affairs from where I'm sitting now, but we did have we had a total of 41 service centers that we visited, 38 of being urban and 14 being rural for overall for the study. The issue of value for money, again, as I said earlier on, that these are a bit of complicated issues. When we do studies with departments and we interview officials, we still find that here and there, internally, you know, officials still battle with issues of value for money, and when you go to service users, you need to really unpack these issues. So, but mostly it was more about what people paid that they felt that it was worth it, that I had to pay this amount for this service. And, you know, people would make different examples with your health services and other services and transport services, where you find people say, no, but we are paying too much for transport when we get to the hospital, you know, that kind of a thing. So basically it was mainly around the cost that they pay. I don't think they factored the cost that they have to go to and fro a lot of times to the departments. The issue of transparency. When we developed the drivers, there was quite a lot of issues that came to attention. As I said earlier on, we had to look into our previous reports. We had to look into pieces of legislation, including the Batubile white paper and so on. But the amount of information that we got that really substantiated that we could come with the drivers, particularly where service users have expressed their views in service delivery, was amongst these ones. We could have taken all of them. It could have been bulky, obviously. But after that, we sent the document to all public service departments to say, are we on track? Have we left something else? Do you feel that maybe there's something that we should add? Equally so, when we engage with the service users on this part, we ask them, do you think this is important? Do you think we left out something perhaps that you feel should come in? But over and above that, issues of transparency, they find a way of coming in through fairness, through information, the driver on fairness, you know. They find a way of coming in. Hence, I said earlier on, when we talk about outcome, people raise issues of timeliness. So somehow they get interrelated along the way. I think the issue of data on Northwest, it relates to the first issue that we spoke about, where we said that we have missed the information, but the information is available. Hence, when we do presentations to various legislators, we pick that information specifically because that's what they're interested in. I think I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honourable Members. This is three questions. One was the question of whether we superimpose the electoral data with the survey data. No, we did not. Generally, there isn't necessarily a correlation. You know, people could be unhappy and, you know, the results don't. But it's most something that we will look at. It means we'd have to run our data sets. But it's also a very limited data set, as the members have pointed out, to see if there's any correlation. Because the survey was done at a certain time. And quite often, depending on what is in the media at the time, people respond accordingly. I am quite sure with the new costing, if we were asked the same questions, there'd be different levels of agitation. I'm sure that if we ask questions just after a xenophobic attack, there'd be a different, you know, issue or not. But something that we would look at. We do provide this data. We'd be able to drill down and provide it specific to provinces and districts, which we can make available. It's quite bulky when it comes out that we've run big databases on that. The question on the whole concept of citizens saying what they feel about government, whilst we think it's normal, citizens themselves think it's abnormal. Mm-hmm. They believe they voted and, you know, that is the issue. So when you go and ask, sometimes there's a lot of suspicion, who are you, where are you coming from, you know, what do you want to deal with it. That is why the same team, Irene and her team, went across the country. We had support in the provinces with our regional offices, so that we have a standardized way of getting the information. Because if we have different teams out there, even if we brief them, the way in which they ask the question, the language in which they ask it, the time in which they spend, can affect the results. So from that level, we do have a level of standardization. The Honourable Member made a valid point about the type of contact. We did look at the telephone, but what's becoming quite used and quite effectively with Home Affairs is SMS technology. Your ID and thing does come on you, and just about everyone's got a phone now, so you get that technology. People seem to be very happy with that. But there's also the issue of walk-in. Some people still like to physically go there and find out what happened. Yeah. And we try to explain, you know, it's costly, why do you have to do that? There is that, you know, people want that personal contact. But the ward councillors also play a role. When they're having a problem and they go to the ward councillors, through those offices they're able to get to access and get the information. And the CDWs themselves sometimes simply get information on how far something is going. So you've got a multiple way in which people access the information. The word transparency was a bit foreign and alien when we were asking it. They sort of understood information. And then we moved on that. We would say, although they're different things, implicitly, if there's information, there's transparency. We were happy with the result about fairness, because we think it does point to an issue that there isn't widespread corruption, where you've got a situation in some countries where irrespective of who you are, you've got to pay a bribe to get a document. You do not have that situation in the country. There may be pockets of that, and it's getting highlighted. And increasingly, as the Department of Home Affairs moves towards technology, it computerizes its system. It takes out the human factor. And that part of the turnaround most certainly has worked to an extent. We need to watch it more. The question of the ID documents, etc., the minister has stated. And other countries, I know India, for example, has used it very successfully, because this is the point of bribery, by removing, and of course the whole question of biotechnology, which we know the department is investigating, can actually, you know, fix up the system. Thank you.
You know, the level, the pace at which we move towards e-government is dictated to by, amongst others, the level of literacy among the population. Much as we would like to move quickly towards e-government, we have to be careful also on what effect it would have on the present communities whose literacy levels are very low. Now, we wouldn't compare ourselves, for example, to South Korea, where in that city at Seoul, where we had visited, 95% of the households had computers in their homes. And even the issue of tendering was done through, you know, computers electronically. You could tender electronically. You could even pay your account, your municipal accounts, electronically. So that level, we still are graduating towards it. And our findings also should not be seen in isolation. The findings in this report should not be seen in isolation with the findings in other reports, M&E reports in departments. That is why when we do a state of the public service report, we draw from all the reports that we have done throughout that financial year. And when you look at the threads running through this report, it's quite amazing. Surveys, research done in different periods, but there's a lot of convergence with regard to the results of those. And that is what we're trying to put forward to committees such as this, to say we have a number of reports that we are releasing. It's a body of knowledge that we are building from time to time. Please read those reports. Look at the synergies and the trends that come out throughout those reports. Even though they are done in different provinces, there are definitely specific trends that come out. And that is the information we think is very crucial for your oversight work. And we are really prepared to share it with you anytime you call on us. Because we believe as a PSC that much as we do technical oversight, you know, on our part, you do the normal oversight as portfolio committee, and you need that technical knowledge and information to do it appropriately and to raise the level of service delivery within departments. And that is our mission. And this is only the beginning of a relationship, dear Chairperson, as I close, if my colleagues don't have anything to say. That we're looking forward to working more with you. If there are any specific requests that you would like to bring forth to us, either for research purposes or on advisory purposes, studies that we can jointly do together, visits that we can do together at any level, at provincial or national level, we will give you the necessary support. And from us, we really thank you so much for giving us your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner. Honourable members, I'm sure we've come to the end of the presentation by the PSC, and we'd like to thank you for your presentation, and we hope this won't be the last. We'll continue engaging in whenever we have our study visits. We will phone to maybe request information as we go province by province. And I'm sure even this report here will help the members. As we'll be having a meeting with the provincial managers. I don't know when we've scheduled that for, but it will be some time after recess or before recess. I don't remember where. We will be having a meeting with the provincial managers. So this will help us, and maybe we will even request information with regard to other provinces that were not mentioned by you today. Thank you very much for your presentation. Honourable members, I'm sure we could have a 5 minute break before the department comes in, and members who want to go to the waterfront today should please come and inform Eddie. Thank you.